morning.
Good morning.
We're happy to have you all here today to worship with us. If you're visiting us for the first time, you take a moment to fill out a welcome card available on the credenza at the front of the parlor or from one of the ushers. Simply place it in the offering plate or hand it to an usher as it comes around. Also, everyone is invited to join us after service in the kitchen for some light refreshment and a time of fellowship. Big surprise, obviously Reverend Dominey is not here today due to a family situation back in New York involving her father, who had to have some unexpected surgery this past Thursday. We are fortunate to be able to welcome Reverend Michael Harvey to be our guest preacher this morning. Reverend Harvey is the Executive Director of the Conference of Baptist Ministers in Massachusetts. I noticed this morning that the list of greeters and social hours hosts has multiple vacancies, three to be exact. If you can, it would be appreciated if you would sign up for a week that is convenient for you. Also, next week, we will be returning to the sanctuary, which means that the sanctuary choir will return to worship. Rehearsal will be at 9:45 next Sunday morning, and everyone is welcome. If there are any questions, please speak to Richard Freeman, the musical director. Also, we're coming down to the wire on the White Cross Challenge for the American Baptist Women's Ministries to support the ministers, missionaries in Bulgaria, Tom and Terry Myers. As I said, we'll be going into the sanctuary next week. So as you leave the service today, if you could drop your hymnal on the cart outside the door in Jetson Chapel so that we can have them in place for next week. While I think of it, we'll be changing the parlor back to a parlor on Wednesday, September 12th at 6 o'clock. If you're able to help, we would appreciate it if you could show up. I will be sending out an email next week as a reminder. There will be Baptist Bible study this Tuesday, by the way. And I believe that's all the announcements that I have, unless someone has something else that I've missed. Apparently not. Okay. Please join me in the responsive call to worship, number 43 in the blue hymnal. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations.
I will sing of you among the people.
For great is your love, reaching to the heavens.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Let your glory be over all the earth.
Those that are able, please stand and join us in singing our first hymn, number 44 in the blue hymnal, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
If on the twisting roads of life, we sometimes become disorientated, sometimes discouraged, sometimes disillusioned, convince us that life is good, that you have placed us here for a purpose, that we have much to enjoy and much to share. May we find in you, O Lord, the reason for our life, the object of our hope, and the source of our joy. Please now join me in praying as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Reverend Harvey will lead us in a moment of prayer. Please be seated.
First, do you have some praise to God, some celebration? What has God done for you this week? How has God helped you or blessed you? Feel free to share that in a prayerful attitude if you would like. Yes?
Let's remember the McCain family.
We might as well mention the Franklin family too, shouldn't we? No?
Aretha's
family. Yes, let's remember families who are in sorrow. And we should remember when we're praying Martha's family, Martha's parents, especially her father, and Martha herself. Any praise, celebration, thanksgiving, or request for prayer? Yes? Your sister? Is she not well? I'm sorry.
She's got pneumonia.
Pneumonia. Okay, let's pray for your sister. What's her first name?
Ruth.
Okay, let's remember her in prayer. Yes?
My sister's home from New York for the weekend.
Oh, is this your sister? Glad you're here. I'm glad you're home from New York. Very glad. Praise God. Hope you have a great time.
I just pray for world peace.
World peace. Amen. We amen that?
Amen.
Any other prayers? Yes.
I spoke with Claire Stevens yesterday, who's one of our full-time members. She's in the nursing home now. And she seemed quite chipper and wanted to be a member there.
Okay. Claire?
Claire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Someone else? I'd like you to remember we're in the midst of the different organizations that are in American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts, including the Conference of Baptist Ministers. We're the clergy, including Doreen and Martha. We are planning a big program, celebration, Mission Works. We're all planning it together this year, and the emphasis is embracing hospitality. It's a sense. Part of the sense is that the world has come to us. And how do we bear witness? How do we fulfill our mission as the world has come to us in the United States? And the idea, too, is to welcome the stranger and fulfill Jesus' call to us to love our neighbors. And so that is October the 11th through the 13th. So I'm sure you've heard some about it. You'll hear some more about it. I hope all of you will register and be a part of that program at Lemonster, Massachusetts. So God is blessing us and helping us. Let's have a prayer together, shall we? Dear God, your grace is sufficient for us. Your grace is greater than all our sin. We pray that you will bless us, and bless us this day, and help us. Help us as we go into the world, as we learn and practice and teach your instructions, Jesus. Bless those that have prayer, for whom prayer has been requested today. The families who are mourning, those who are sick and in trouble. There are other people who are on our hearts, and we ask you to look into our hearts and bless those we're concerned about. And bless this church. You have called this church to be your body in the world. You've called this church, set it apart to fulfill your purpose. Bless this church. Fill this church with your Spirit. Help them not to be worried about numbers or money, but to be concerned with your call and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
On Communion Sunday, we have two offerings. This first one is to support the ongoing needs of our church. The second is to support the ministry of our deacons. We're privileged this morning to again have with us Alba Gilbert Reed to play a violin solo as our offertory hymn. She'll be playing the Boy Paganini.
Paganini,
okay. As we give, let us follow the example of those who have gone before us, those who have sacrificed so that we could hear the word of life, those who gave their resources so that we could have a house of worship, those who gave of themselves so that we could receive Christ. The ushers will now wait upon you for your tithes and offerings. As saints of old brought the first fruits of their fields, their orchards, and their flocks, so we bring the first portion of our paychecks. The times have changed, but the meaning is the same. We place you first in our lives.
We're going to sing Yeah. 461. I'm going to read three short passages for you. The first one I'm going to read, Stan told me about this morning, and I always pay attention when somebody brings something like that to me because I feel that it's the Holy Spirit working. So I'm going to read this passage. It's a very good passage from 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. Hear the word of God. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, God will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it.
Amen.
Amen. Good passage. And thinking about being out in the world, representing Jesus, that's a good passage to keep in mind. The other passages that I would like, first is one I'll just repeat to you, and this is my translation of it. It's found in the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually the high point of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's chapter 7, verse 2. It goes like this. You'll recognize it, I'm sure. The words of Jesus. In everything, as you want people to do to you, do so to them. This is what the Bible is all about. And then the next passage. This passage came about because the theologians of Jesus' day, the clergy, they were questioning what Jesus said before. You notice when he said the Bible is all about the golden rule, how you treat your neighbor. And they were concerned because he didn't say the Bible was all about worshiping God or all about God. So they came to him and they asked him. Here's how the text goes. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. By the way, the Pharisees were the conservatives and the Sadducees were the liberals. So we got both Jesus is giving a hard time to. They gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what commandment is in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets are, of course, the Old Testament or the Bible, as we would understand it. These two commandments. But notice what he says there. The second commandment, you will love your neighbor as yourself, is just like the first. Jesus, like Jeremiah before him and others, prophets, was saying that you cannot know God directly. God is beyond our knowledge. The way to know God is through the love of your neighbor. Go and love your neighbor and you will come to know God. That's what Jesus is saying, as well as Jeremiah and the prophets. The Apostle John put it this way. If you say you love God and you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. Pretty simple, right? Jesus, Well, this week we've been talking about heroes because of the big funerals that we had this week. John McCain and Aretha Franklin. Today we want to talk about the hero of all humanity, Jesus. And Jesus is a hero who is fully human and yet fully God. Jesus is a hero who's not in a gold-plated, flag-covered casket. Jesus is a hero who did die for us all, executed by the Roman Empire on a cross. But Jesus is the hero whom God raised from the dead. And Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is the living hero of all humanity. All humanity. Jesus is alive. In fact, the name of Jesus carries the name of God, Yahweh, and Yahweh means I will be there. Presence of God. Jesus' name means, I will be there to help you. That's what Jesus' name means. And Jesus came into this world fully human and fully God to show us, to bring us back to God's way, to God's creation intention. Do you know what that is? God's creation intention, God's way, we often call it God's kingdom, but God's way is the way of love, partnership in life, working together, caring for each other, love. Jesus came to bring to all the world R-E-S-P-E-C-T. For one another. Truly. Truly. You remember the Great Commission. People often think the Great Commission is about going out into the world and preaching to people or telling them to get saved. Oh, no. That may be kind of, you could sum it up like that perhaps. But the point of the Great Commission is to teach all people to put into practice the teachings of Jesus. Read it again. That's what it's about. And what are the teachings of Jesus? It's all about this love that I'm talking about. The creation intention of God, that we treat each other with respect, with love. We be partners with each other in life. That's Jesus' teachings. And Jesus says, I set apart you, First Baptist Church of Malden, to be my body in this world. Not the only one, but one of them. And that means that you will win this world. You will love your neighbor as yourself. I love the Brazilian theologian Leonardo Boff. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or read about him. But I love one thing especially he said. He said, the shame, and we can think of this nowadays, the shame of the church is that she has not set out to win the world, to you will love your neighbor as yourself. That's the shame of the church. Now, today, I'm calling us back to that purpose, the purpose of Jesus, to set out to win the world, to you will love your neighbor as yourself. That's your purpose, First Baptist Church of Malden. That's your purpose. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis, said many wonderful things and thought of many wonderful things. One thing he said was, "You will love your neighbor as yourself," is the most impossible commandment ever given. Now, you who have worked hard to obey Jesus, to love your neighbor as yourself, you know he's onto something. It isn't easy, is it?
No.
No, it's not easy. It's not easy to love your enemies. It's not easy to love, sometimes, the people in your own family. You will love your neighbor as yourself is difficult. But it's not impossible. In fact, it is possible. You could actually translate this word, that commandment, as we call it, this way. Now it is possible to love your neighbor as yourself. You can translate it that way. So here is why you exist, First Baptist Church of Malden. This is the reason you exist, to show the world that now it is possible to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you're here for. You're not here for to make a big demonstration of money or even numbers. Obey this commandment. Demonstrate to the world around you that now it is possible for you to love your neighbor as yourself, and God will take care of the rest. God will stir you up for the rest. And the reason it's possible is because God is living and present with us. That Jesus is alive and working in our lives and hearts. That the Holy Spirit of God is upon us. And therefore we have the power to love even the most unlovely person. We have that power. We have the power to forgive, to give respect, even to the person we think doesn't deserve respect. We have the power to love our neighbors. We have that power in Jesus. So let me tell you a little story to maybe bring this point home. This is my version, my retelling of the story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. So the land in England was at war. All the tribes were fighting against each other. And there was nothing but war and conflict. Even when the knights from the various tribes came together for a great banquet, King Arthur brought them together, they would fight with each other. They could hardly enjoy the food because they got into even food fights. There was much contention and conflict in the among the tribes. So King Arthur heard that the Holy Grail was hidden somewhere in England. That a pilgrim had been to Jerusalem and it brought back the Holy Grail. You know what the Holy Grail is? The Holy Grail. Grail means a round container. And the Holy Grail was the cup at the Last Supper. The cup that Jesus blessed and passed around to the disciples. So the rumor was it was here in England. And so King Arthur wanted to set out to find the Holy Grail because he believed if they found it and they could bring it to the center of the kingdom, that there would be peace. There would be peace. After all, the Holy Grail was that cup that contained the very life of God. So he had constructed a round table. I like what somebody said, throw out all the tables except the round tables. Because on a round table, there's no head and there's no foot. We're all on equal place. So he had constructed a round table, and he brought all the knights from the different tribes together around the table. It was much harder for them to fight with each other when they were at a round table. And he told them, and King Arthur himself came down from his throne and sat at the round table. And he said, it has been reported that the Holy Grail is here in England, but it's hidden somewhere. We don't know where it is. So your mission is to go out and find the Holy Grail so that we can have peace in our land. Now, my knights are a little different from the original story. My knights are women as well as men.
Amen.
Young people as well as older people and middle-aged people. Those are my knights. And they came to the table and they heard this message, and here's how they practiced it. They would go to Mass. They were Catholic in those days. So they would go to the Mass service, and then they would come back and sit around the table, and they would share what their mission was, what they were about. And then after that, they would go out during the week into all the tribes. And they would go into different tribes than their own. And they would go out and they would help people who needed help. There would be people who were sick or wounded, and they would care for them. They would feed the hungry. But also, they would go to people sometimes when they were hungry, and the people would feed them. And if they were wounded, the people would care for them. It was this mutual exchange of the knights and the tribes. And then after the week of searching for the Holy Grail out among all the people, they would come back to have Mass and then come to the round table. And at the round table, they would share their experiences. Here's how God blessed me this week. Here's how someone loved me this week and cared for me. Here's how I cared for someone this week. They would share all of this around the table. So weeks went by, and this was their practice. And finally, it was 3 months that had gone by. They were searching for the Holy Grail. And one knight stood up and said, "We have not found the Holy Grail." And another one said, "Yes, we have. We are the Holy Grail. We here around this table are the Grail, the Holy Grail, containing the very life of God. We are the Holy Grail." Today I want to tell you, church, you are the Holy Grail. In you, together, in your love for Christ, your love for each other, your love for this world, you have the very life of God in you. So go and be the Holy Grail. Win this world till you will love your neighbor as yourself. And show this world that now it is possible for you to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Our hymn is 2 verses of "Let Us Break Bread Together." It's on page 748. Seated, we will take the communion offering.
Yes. As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me now in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other. Watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observances of our church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and those who called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
This is Jesus's table. It doesn't even belong to this church. It belongs to Jesus, and Jesus invites everyone to participate. You're welcome. It's open for you to be here and participate in communion. It was on that dark night in which Jesus was betrayed by one of his own friends that he took the bread of the Passover and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this and eat it and remember me." And after their Passover meal together, Jesus took the Holy Grail. And Jesus blessed it and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the remission of your sins. Drink this and remember me." Amen. Said, "This bread is my body, broken for you. Eat this and remember me." Be nourished by the living Christ. Thank you. and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the remission of your sins. Drink this and always remember me." My practice has always been to leave the elements of the Lord's Supper uncovered, because Jesus' call, invitation for you to dine at his table is always open until Jesus comes again. Shall we sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds" verses 1 and 4? 677. May God bless us and keep us. May the face of God shine upon us. May God be gracious to us and give us peace, the peace that passes all understanding, which will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Knights of the Round Table, go forth in Jesus' name.